My name's Lori Gibson. I am the new row crop sustainability specialist at the University of Tennessee. So I am brand new. I won't be as lengthy as these seasoned extension men. Today I'm going to talk about how precision ag can influence the sustainability of your cotton production system. So I'm going to start out by defining sustainability. If you Google it, the definition's pretty simple: the ability to maintain. So a lot of people hear the word sustainability and just think reducing environmental impacts. But there's more to it than that. It's also keeping your yields up, maintaining productivity. So there's actually three pillars to sustainability, the first being economic. So we want to improve your net farm income, and we want to stimulate the regional economy. The second part, social. We want to improve producers' access to information. So, information to emerging technologies, information on what things work and what don't. So, if somebody's trying something in Tennessee, they're not trying it in Texas a year later. And then the third part, of course, is the environmental aspect. So, we want to reduce our nutrient loss to the environment, keep our nutrients on field, reduce our energy use on the farm, improve nutrient recycling, things of that nature. So the UN is estimating that there's going to be 2 billion more people on this earth by 2050, and that our production is going to have to double. As you all know, our land base isn't growing, so this is going to have to be achieved through intensified production. Seed technologies are getting better every day, but unless we all play a part and try to optimize our nutrient management, we're not going to be able to achieve that doubled production. There's also regulatory pressures regarding fertilizer application. Environmental groups are suing the government and trying to get hard numbers for nutrient applications. They're already seeing this in the Chesapeake Bay Area, I'm sure a lot of you are aware of, and they have to farm by a model up there. It's recently happened in Florida where they have hard numbers and they're trying to fight back. Because if we want to keep our yields up, it's going to be really hard having to apply, however much fertilizer they're telling us to apply. The fertilizer industry realized this was coming down the pike, so they're being proactive with the 4R Nutrient Stewardship Campaign. And they base this off of the three pillars of sustainability, so not only the environment, but the economic and social aspects as well. So they're saying if we can find the right fertilizer source, apply it at the right rate and at the right time and in the right place, we can keep our nutrients on field while still maintaining and optimizing our yields. So, right source, we just need to be considering all the sources, commercial forms, the controlled release forms, organic forms like manure and biosolids, and use a combination of those while realizing we have to balance, make sure the nutrients are balanced. So probably the most simple precision ag management strategy, but most beneficial is site-specific soil sampling. This can be done through either grid or zone. I know a lot of people used to soil sample and every 10 acres or so, but that's not going to address your spatial variability. So we like to say go to a 5 acre grid or a 2.5 acre grid. Also, there's zone management techniques. So if you have a consistently low yielding area of your field, and there's no drainage issues, no issues that you can address, then maybe cut your fertilizer rates there, and maybe even put them into the higher yielding areas to see if you can get a yield bump. And then you can always look at real-time methods like Brian talked about earlier, using NDVI, things like that, to make in-season decisions. Anything that can give you a better guess, a more educated decision on your rate, will be beneficial. With time, we just want to make sure that the nutrients are available when the crop needs it, and we're not applying it at the wrong time and they're leaching and running off. So follow the recommended application times, use controlled release fertilizers, utilize split applications instead of all pre. We want to keep all of our nutrients on site, so we want to utilize application methods like incorporation of fertilizer. We want to avoid, obviously, applying fertilizer off-site. So this image is courtesy of Mike. Where's the pointer? So we could think of this as a buffer strip. The buffer strip's there to catch nutrients before they go off. So we can use things like automatic section control to avoid wasting our fertilizer and adding nutrients in places we don't want them. And we also need to use soil conservation practices. Phosphorus in particular is sticky. It wants to bind to soil, and soil erosion is just a rapid method of transport for that phosphorus to get into our waterways. Tennessee is about 75% no-till of the major row crop acreage. I'm not sure how the rest of the U.S. is, but if you are an area you can't use no-till, try conservation tillage, anything to reduce that erosion. So the Keystone Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture was formed, and members of this group include major commodity groups, National Cotton Council, and Cotton Incorporated are members, the fertilizer industry, equipment manufacturers, retailers, Walmart, and all these people came together with one common goal, and that was to create a more sustainable outcome for agriculture. So this is how they define sustainability, and I think the first bullet really embodies what sustainability means, and that's meeting the needs of the present while improving the future's ability to meet their needs. So this can be done by obviously increasing our productivity, reducing our impact on the environment, improving human health and economies, and the social well-being of our communities. So one thing of outreach that came out of the Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture was what they call the Field to Market Field Print Calculator. This was created, it's online and free, so producers could put basic data about their management strategies in and see how sustainable their operation is and maybe how they can improve their sustainability. So you can put in GPS coordinates, and then it'll bring up a map, and you can draw out your field. It'll automatically bring in soil type and slope and that kind of thing. And then it'll ask you questions like, well, what kind of crop did you plant in 2011? What variety of cotton did you use? Did you irrigate? How much? You also need to put in all the trips you took across the field and what you applied, how much you applied. And then these tabs across the top are all quantified metrics, hard numbers that it'll give you. And those are land use, soil conservation, soil carbon, irrigation water use, energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions. So right now we're on the summary tab. All those metrics I talked about are around this graphic, and this is what they call a spidergram. So in the gray or blue, however it looks from your seat, is your field print. In the green is the national average, so all the data that's been put into this calculator, they've averaged out. Orange is the state average, and red is the county average. And it looks funny in this one because there was no data for this county except for what I was putting in. And on the right is just a different graphical representation of the same information. So like I said, you put in all of your trips and what you applied. This is a dry land operation, so irrigation does not take zero energy, I promise. In orange is fertilizer, so you can see that makes up most of the energy usage of this operation. And the same thing with greenhouse gas emissions, especially the NOx emissions. Fertilizer is to blame. So how can Precision Ag promote sustainability? So I'm going to give you a few examples. These are producers that used site-specific soil sampling and went to variable rate fertilizer application. This is a 72-acre cotton field in Tennessee. You can see it yielded about 920 pounds. I think this is in 2011. So traditionally, this producer was laying 30 pounds of P2O5 and 90 pounds of K2O blanket rates. He went to a 2.5-acre grid sampling regime. This is from 2011. His prescription maps, You can see our average based on the acreage rate applied for P2O5 was 25 compared to the 30 blanket he was applying. And for K2O, it's 51 compared to the 90. So to look at our field print, in the orange is energy usage, and the gray is greenhouse gas emissions. He reduced his energy usage by 1,000 BTUs per pound. So the calculator, all the metrics are on a per pound basis, because we could make that number zero if we weren't farming at all, right? We use zero BTUs, but the higher yields you get, the more productive you are, the more sustainable you are, as defined by the calculator. And then greenhouse gas emissions were reduced by 0.2 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent. So here are the spidergrams again with his traditional rates compared to his variable rate, and you can see how it gets smaller. So this producer in 2011 on this field saved around $25 an acre and reduced his P2O5 application by over 350 pounds. And we're concerned with that because that potentially could have ended up in waterways. And all of our waterways in Tennessee go to the Mississippi, and that's where the problem is. So we really want to minimize our nutrient application. I've analyzed about 850 acres for this producer, all from 2011. Like I said, he went to a 2.5-acre grid soil sampling regime and decided to go to variable rate P&K. So these technologies saved him 124,000 pounds of CO2 equivalent. And just to give you a reference, I think burning 1 gallon of gasoline is 5 pounds of CO2 equivalent. 650 million BTU. An average household uses 125 million BTU a year. 7 tons of P2O5 over those 850 acres, and $25,000 in 2011. So here's another example. This field is 92 acres. You can see he's had consistently high yields in the past 2 years. He went to a zone management technique. They created their zones from soil EC maps, knowledge they had of their field, and other things. So traditionally, he was applying 120 pounds of nitrogen, 30 pounds P2O5, and 90 pounds of K2O. And after he went to his zone management technique, you can see in 2011 and 12, his nitrogen application was reduced. In 2011, he didn't apply any P2O5. Our soils in Tennessee are relatively high in phosphorus. So that's one way we can really promote saving money, saving input money, and reducing our nutrients, is getting people to soil test for phosphorus. He came back up to 30 in 2012 and then reduced his K2O applications. Here are the prescription maps for nitrogen for 2011 and 2012. So his traditional blanket rate was 120. You can see in this 2011 map, he would have been over fertilizing most of this field. And then in 2012, he would have been over fertilizing pretty much that whole field. So looking back at the field prints, by switching to variable rate and reducing his other applications, he's saving 4,000 BTUs per pound on this field. And 0.5 pound of carbon dioxide equivalent per pound of lint. And again, here are the spidergram graphics. You can just see that it's smaller with the new rates. So in both 2011 and 12, he saved around $50 an acre and reduced his nitrogen and P2O5 nutrients by a pretty substantial amount, over 2 tons in 2012. So I've analyzed about 500 acres for this producer, and I had the same field in 2011 and 2012, so we have 2 years of data on those. Like I said, he went to a zone management technique, reduced his P&K applications. In some instances, he did variable rate P&K, just where there was a lot of variability within the field, and always did variable rate nitrogen. So he saved 425,000 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent, 4.2 billion BTU, 19 tons of nitrogen, 15 tons of P2O5 that all could have ended up in waterways if it wasn't utilized. And over those 2 years, $60,000. So my take-home message is be good stewards. I know most of our producers really are good stewards of the land, but like I said, there's a lot of regulatory pressures, so we need to be proactive and meet that on the front end rather than the tail end. Use precision ag technologies. My examples have showed you they have the ability to reduce your impact on the environment and make you money, and the most important thing is to keep you farming. And that's all I have. If y'all have any questions. I got a lot of time. Told you I wouldn't be long-winded. Yes.
Are you sure that 2 years is enough time to determine whether you've completed the potassium or if you haven't been completed yet? In other words, do you not need to go for a longer span in the potassium, not something that immediately shows its efficiency like nitrogen?
Well, most people are sampling every 3 years. And if, like with the producer that didn't apply any phosphorus that 1 year, and then he was going off of the same sample, but he wasn't comfortable applying 0 2 years, so he went ahead and bumped it up in his second year. Does that answer your question? So those are the metrics that were on the top of the calculator. So they're all quantified. The calculator quantifies all of them. But this is just a graphical representation for people that don't, have a reference to what those numbers actually mean. So on the top there's land use. There's soil conservation, soil carbon, irrigation, water use. In this example, it was dry land, so the irrigation's completely gone. Energy use and greenhouse gas emissions. So the gray-blue area, you can see that from there, is your field print, basically your footprint on the environment. That green outer ring is the national average. So what the calculator does is averages everybody that's put data in and lets you know how sustainable they are. The orange is state. And like I said, the red's county, but I'm the only one putting data in. So there's not enough to have an average for the county level.
So presumably, the further off you go on the spider web, the less sustainable.
Exactly. It's just supposed to be an easy way to say, if you put 2 years of data in, there's tabs, and you can kind of flip through and see your sustainability, your footprint of that year. Exactly. No, and I don't know that. I'm just using the calculator. I'm pretty new to it. I know they have a booth at the trade show if anybody's interested in learning more about the calculator. But there's not a lot of data put in right now. They're still in development stages, so they're coming out with new versions of it. But think I've put in some counties where the county average is actually there in the past few weeks, so you can at least see what you're doing compared to your neighbor, kind of thing.
Got a question on that?
Yeah.
If if you're a producer and say you're just standard operation, you're not doing precision ag or anything, and you just for the fun of it decide to enter your data in here,
mm-hmm.
when would you maybe, and this is looking at it from like a totally different side, because maybe producers are going to look at it from a sustainability standpoint to start with, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, initially looked at it, when would you like get worried that you're like doing terrible with sustainability, and you better change your operations. Like if you're outside your county level, if you're outside the national level, if you're, you know, what producers should they use? You know, if they look at this, should they? I guess the better question, should they use this to kind of gauge where they stand and make decisions?
Exactly. So it was made just so producers could use it and see what was going on. I'm kind of using it in a different realm by comparing management strategies. I'll give a plug. I have a talk tomorrow in the engineering session about how I'm using the calculator to look at different management strategies and see how those affect your sustainability. So it's completely relative. I mean, at least if you can see, you know, if you were way out of whack on the irrigation with the other averages, then you might want to look at your irrigation system a little closer.